And now our pastor, Lane Stockton.
Good morning. It is good to see all of you here. We're glad to have visitors here with us today. Thank you for coming out and being part of our morning worship service this morning. If this is your first time visiting with us, we're so grateful that you're here. We understand you could have worshiped anywhere this morning, but you chose our church, and we're glad to have you with us. Don't forget, the cantata is coming up. The little cards, there's still some left. They're on the front row over here. We actually have a visitor today who received one in the mail this week, and they came early. And we're glad that they came early to see and to be a part of our worship service today. But let me encourage you, if you are not in the choir, if you're not in the choir and you don't normally would come on a Friday night, come out Friday night and support the choir. They have worked really, really hard at this. And I've heard our radio advertisement now 5 times this week. And they've played it over 22 times this week. And I've heard it 5 myself. So really good time frames that I heard it as well. So please come out and support the choir. We are doing this for the glory of God. And we need your help. And if you're not in the choir, and could help possibly with ushering or nursery, please see me or my wife after church today. We need to get some of that stuff lined out so that we can have everybody in their place, so that everybody is cared for. We'll have visitors here, and we need to be able to get them to their proper place. They will need to know where restrooms are. They'll need to know where the nursery is. They need to know that their kids are well cared for. Well cared for. If you are on the security team, please, if you could be here at 4:30, if you're on the security team, you guys know who you are. So most of you have to be here anyway because the choir will be practicing. I need to just go over a few things with our security team this evening about Friday night, of course, as we're expecting a lot of visitors. A lot of folks from the community will be coming out. Don't forget, Friday night also we'll have hot chocolate and coffee and cookies and brownies after the service to fellowship with our community. So if you can help bring some hot chocolate, maybe your favorite additive to your coffee, whatever it is. I don't know. There's so many nowadays. Triple fudge chocolate or something. Whatever you pour in your coffee. If it's half and half, I'm sure Brother Leah handle half and half. He won't drink coffee unless it's half and half, so he'll handle the half and half. So come out, bring some cookies, some brownies, and make yourself available to Friday night to support the church and the choir and those that are practicing. Also, last note, we'll get into the Word of God. Teens, please meet after church up here. You have to go over some standing issues where you stand in the park, and it needs to be settled this morning. And don't forget to meet with Sister Lois, beautiful girlhood. So I'd be all teens up on the platform after church. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 this morning. Last week we started our series on Christmas with a portion of scripture out of Luke chapter number 2, where the angel said unto Mary, "Fear not." And we talked about a few things that would make us fearful. Like number 1 was the fearful of the unexpected. Unexpected things always cause fear, whatever it may be. If it's an unexpected bill that comes, if it's an unexpected job loss, unexpected I guess they could be some unexpected births. Had some children born pretty early here in our congregation. So those things bring fear. And the second thing we talked about was the fear of personal loss. You know, losing that job, losing that home, losing, a battle of some sort, losing at work or losing a promotion that you should have got, that it was rightfully yours, but somehow or another we got overlooked. And so that personal loss, there's fear in that. And the third thing was the fear of meeting God. You know, just the very presence of God should bring fear and reverence. But many times we're afraid to meet God, and so that we will not even approach the throne of mercy. Like it says in Hebrews chapter number 4, that we have access to God's throne in time of need. And sometimes that fear keeps us from meeting, you know, with God like we should. Let me tell you something. God desires a relationship with you. If not, He would not have sent His only begotten Son for you, for me, for the world. Galatians chapter 4, as we continue our thought on Christmas throughout the month of December, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." As I read this portion of Scripture and began to look at it, I began to think about the difference in Christmas time when Paul wrote this and now. It is an amazing scene for me to watch somebody on Black Friday after the fact. I am not getting up and getting trampled at Walmart for a $132 42-inch TV that's going to break in 2 weeks. You know, but it is an amazing thing that happens. I mean, the doors open and people just flock in, you know, and just trample over each other. It's buy me this. It's take me here so I can get that. And, you know, and the preaching. Oh, now the preaching nowadays. Now, preacher, be sure it's Christmas season. We need to know about the wise men. We got to hear that portion of Christmas, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a part of the Bible. But a lot of people don't like the fact that when you bring out Bible that the wise men were not at the manger scene. They get a little bothered by that. So just right now, I saw it. Some of you think the wise men were at the manger scene. Well, he was not. You got to study Bible. The wise men found him at a house a couple of years later. It's Scripture. Got to look. Then they get bothered by that. They get troubled. You know, the preacher, talk about the end. No room in the end. You know, and that's a good thing, because a lot of times that's good until you bring out this point about no room in the end. There's still no room today for him in many people's lives. But preacher, you're meddling now. That's my soccer game, and that's my football, that's my Boy Scouts, and you know, and I you can't do that. See, we like it until it hits at home. We like talking about the shepherds. Of course, we love shepherds. You know, we watch over the sheep until we lack in the fact that we are like the Lord's sheep. And He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And then, uh-oh, preacher, listen, I'm not going to hear that, and we're bothered by it. We like to hear about the inn and the magi. We like hearing about the shepherds and all that until it hits home where we are today. And I thought about this. This is a Christmas message that Paul preached to the church of Galatia. And he says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, that's an amazing Christmas statement. I mean, it is an amazing statement, and it encompasses a lot. I mean, it encompasses a whole lot. But what first it says to me is that God's always on time. Always on time. You know, how impatient we come or become when things don't work out as we planned. How impatient we become when our prayers are not answered, or when difficulties persist. It reminds me of the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She said, "Just let me touch the hem of His garment." Let me tell you something. God's always on time. And I want to invite us, if we could, through Scripture, to step out of time into God's control. Because God's not in our time. God doesn't work on a 24-hour clock. The Bible says that 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years. You and I are stuck inside what we know as time, but God is in eternity, and He's from everlasting to everlasting. But God sees the big picture. You and I see the now and the worries and the care of the day. But God sees what we really need. And in this portion of Scripture, in this passage of Scripture, God is always on time, as we see here. But when the fullness of time was come, I thought about Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery, carried off to Egypt, and bought by Potiphar and put into the house of Potiphar. Can you imagine the prayer life of Joseph? You know, the Bible says about Joseph that the Lord was with him. 6 times it says about that. In the pit, in the jail, waiting on the time that God would bring deliverance. And from the time his brother sold him to the time he met them face to face and he realized who they were, he was then prime minister. It didn't work like that, did it? It was in God's timing. I think about Moses, who was preserved on the backside of the desert for 40 years before he'd ever become the deliverer of Egypt, of Israel out of Egypt. I think about the parting of the Red Sea as the nation of Israel is marching out of Egypt and Pharaoh's gathering his senses and he's finally got his little bitty council that is left there and they gathered up and now the terror of losing the firstborn is passing so quickly that they encourage him, let's go and back and let's take them back to be our slaves again. And they begin to follow and pursue after the nation of Israel until the point that they were blocked in, the Red Sea in front of them, the nation of Egypt behind them, and all the chariots of Pharaoh there. And just at the right time, God parted the Red Sea. In the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son. God was right on time at the birth of Christ. I wondered and I thought about how long it must have seemed. You know, the very first prophecy is back in Genesis 3. And then you have all the way up, and then there's some more prophecies about the crucifixion in Psalms. And then there's some prophecies in Isaiah about a virgin bringing forth a child. And then it gets up to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And then God doesn't speak to anybody for 400 years. Silence. Nothing. No word at all from God. And all of a sudden, God began to move. God began to plan. The promises there in the garden, the prophecies in the Old Testament, the silence, all must have brought fear and worry. It must all brought a moment where they could look and say, is it really going to happen? But when it happened, they were not ready. They missed the coming of the Messiah because they were looking for something greater than what it says here. God sent forth His Son made of a woman under the law. Isn't that an amazing statement in Galatians chapter 4? Now listen, the action kicked into play. The angels started appearing here and appearing there, bringing messages and telling Mary she's with child, telling Elizabeth she's with child. And then the angels, after the birth, appearing there, well, also to Joseph, and then the angels appearing to the shepherds and bringing forth the message. And boy, it just began to go. And I thought about this, the taxation that took place. It's not like you and I. You and I today, you know, tax season's coming right around the corner. And you'll go to the HR Block. You'll go to some of these quick places where they'll charge you $120 to do a 1040Z just so you can get your money right then and right there. You got to have it now. You won't wait a little bit. And taxes here. And it's so simple. You can actually get online and you can get a program. You can do it yourself nowadays. It kind of just works everything out. If you got a lot of money and you got a lot of things, you can go to an accountant. They can take care of it. a decree came out that everybody had to go pay taxes, but they had to go pay it in their hometown. And I thought about that. That in God's timing. You know, if the IRS was to send out a memo today that you have to go to your hometown to be counted and to pay your taxes, we would revolt. We would say enough is enough. And we've got it bad, right? On a mule, on a donkey. Here goes a pregnant woman. But wait a minute, it's more than just taxes. It's fulfillment of God's word. She had to get there because that's where the Bible said that the man-child, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. In the fullness of time. Sometimes your difficulties is getting you where God needs you. And you need to relax a little bit and say, Lord, here am I. Whatever trials, whatever troubles, whatever difficulties come my way, I will accept it by faith because you are God. You are God. God will be right on time, dear friend, at His second coming, just like He was here. Many of you are just saying, man, I wish the Lord come back tomorrow. I wish He'd come back right now. The Lord needs to come back now. It's just bad. The government's bad. Terrorism's bad. And politicians are bad. Christians are bad. Everything's bad. Lord, you need to come back because you're the only thing good. And what we're praying, we're so caught up on the Lord coming back that we're not doing what we're supposed to do right now. Occupy this land till He comes and share the gospel of Christ with all the world. Because we're so worried. Listen, God's going to come back and send His Son, like He said in Acts chapter 1, in His time. We've got a job to do. We've got to get busy. God's always on time. Listen, the current scene that we are in right now, it's bad. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a doomsayer. It is bad. People hating each other, playing each other, people not trusting each other anymore, and we're losing that. And it seems though that everywhere we look on this side or that side, it seems that we're going away and further away from God. Listen, the scene is bad, but I'm going to tell you something. With God, He's still in control. He is in control. It doesn't matter what your boss does. Doesn't matter if your company shuts down. Doesn't matter if you lose a house again that you have fought to recover or you know through the financial woes at one place in 7-8 years ago. And if you're back there now and you're having more difficulty, listen, God is still God. He's going to be on time. You wait for Him to work. You are not where you're at by accident. Look around. See who you can help. Who you can bless. Where you are at. Right there. In your place. I still like that picture that Brother Scott posted a couple of weeks ago about whenever you're looking across the fence and the grass looks greener on the other side, that it's not a notion to go across the fence. It's a reminder to water the grass where you're standing. It always looks better at somebody else's house. You know, somebody else's marriage always looks better. Somebody else's kids always look better. Somebody else's job always looks better until you are walking in their shoes and you realize they have real problems like you have with them. God's always on time. And I thought about this verse that I read. And God meets people where they're at. Let's read that verse again. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Made under the law. God meets you where you're at. That's where God sent His only begotten Son to be born of a virgin in a womb, to be in a manger, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that were laid there in swaddling clothes with animals around Him, because that's where most people are at their lowest. God meets you exactly where you're at. God sent forth His Son, made on that woman. That was where we are, where we needed God down to show us that, hey, this God became man, robed in the flesh, that He might redeem man. He didn't show up on the scene with His armies of 10,000. That's coming later. He came to show us that He would meet us right where we are. He was born so helpless. How strange could it have been, you know, to think about the entrance of God into our time frame was through a womb in a manger. How about that? To think that God, the creator of everything, would enter our time, enter our system, of course it's His, but our time frame in such a helpless way. How great a way to show His humanity. Look over in Philippians chapter number 2. Hold your place there in Galatians. We're coming back. But look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look at verse 7. But made Himself no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. How great is that? To think that God would come down and be made in the likeness of man. 100% God, 100% man. He would hunger, He would thirst, He would get tired, He would weep. He would feel lonely. He'd feel burdens and He'd feel alone. And He'd feel that He was there all by Himself. He looked at His disciples and says, they all have left also. Will you leave as well? But yet this same God walked on water, stilled the storms, made the lame to walk, made the blind to see. This is the God of creation. The man-child, yes, He came as a child, but He didn't stay in that manger. He grew up that He might go to the cross of Calvary. Amen. To redeem mankind. Oh, God meets us right where we're at. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm certainly glad that God did not only die for Sunday school teachers and choir members, and I'm certainly thankful that God didn't die for just preachers and pianists and slow lowests, and didn't just die for those that would be born and raised in a church and their mom and dad would bring them to church. And I'm so thankful that God did not only die for them, but He died for the world. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Not only did He die for the Sunday school kids and the Sunday school teachers, and not only did He die for the choir members and the church and the church members and the kids that would grow up in there, but this here says that He died for very wicked people. Why? Because all of my righteousness are His filthy rags. Such were some of you. God died for fornicators. God died for adulterers. God died for effeminate. Why? To change you, but He met you right where you were at. Amen. Aren't you thankful that you did not have to become a preacher to get saved? Amen. Well, wouldn't that be boring? You have to go to a seminary or cemetery and sit into 60 classes and study, scripture and take tests and all that, and you get to the end, they say, well, I'm sorry, you got to write a 10,000 word thesis in order to get saved. Well, I'd be in trouble. I don't have 10,000 words in my vocabulary, I don't think. I was such as these. God met me where I was at, and I thank God that today I'm not where I was. That He made me different. Made me and changed me different. Because He met me where I was at. It was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He meets us right where God wants to change people from what they are to what they can be. That's what I see in this verse. That's what I see in Galatians chapter number 4 and verses 4 and 5. That God is always on time. That God meets me where I'm at. That God wants to change me. It says there that... go back there and look in Galatians again. Galatians chapter 4. Look at what it says there. There was a purpose that He came in the fullness of time. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we might receive the adoption of sons. What does that mean? That I might be placed into sonship. That He would come and save me and make me part of His family, to be placed in His family. I didn't have a choosing. I couldn't just bring good works and pile them up, because He said, for it's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but it's according to His mercy. I couldn't show up with my choir robe on and my baptism slip and my piano notes and say, look at what I've done, God. Look at all I've done. You know what He says? It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And you come to God and you present yourself like you are, a sinner needing Christ. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to redeem us that were made under the law, not only to redeem us, but to place us into His family. God is developing you into what you ought to be if you will just yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness, as it talks about in Romans chapter 6. In His timing, in the fullness of time, Jesus will change your life. This morning I came to Sunday school class and got ready for men's class, and I began to flip through the Bible, and I started talking about hunting with Brother Jimmy and Daniel, and I was trying to keep the conversation going because I was flipping through the Bible and I was looking for my notes, and I was looking, I said, oh Lord, keep talking, keep it going, because I got to find these notes. They're hidden here somewhere. I had wrote down some things on a 3x5 card that I wanted to share with the men, and I kept talking, and they just thought I was enjoying the conversation, but I was really looking. Finally, I just said, I've got to go. And I ran to the office and found my little note thing there and got it in. And Brother Jim said, welcome to the club, Pastor. Forgetting things. I'm enjoying getting old. I am. I really am. But I don't enjoy it near as much when I was welcome into God's family. When I heard Him say, son, I am your Savior, your Redeemer. Welcome into my family. And I was adopted into His family. And God began to change and to work on my life. You can only be what you ought to be through His power. And just like He showed up in the fullness of time and brought forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the Son, just like it was in that timing, your timing is now with God. Something in your life He wants to work on. Our problem is, we want Him to work on another area and not the problem He wants to work on. He wants to work on you. He loves you. Make your moment of decision today the most important decision you can make if you're lost today without Christ, is to understand this verse, that God sent His Son to redeem you. Secondly, if you are saved, He wants you to represent Him well. He's placed you into his family. That means he's chosen you. You didn't choose him. He placed you into his family. He ordained you that you'd go forth and bring good works and bring forth good works and good fruits for his glory. Not for being saved and not for salvation, but because you are saved. In the fullness of time, our Christmas season is a little bit different than the church of Galatians, isn't it? Some of you wanted maybe to hear a different message today about Christmas, you know, as we begin this series. But I always find it unique when we look at a season that we have here, like Christmas, that would honor the birth of Christ, how much other verses cover the birth than just Luke chapter 2. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jim's on his way. The pianist will be here in a moment. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. You know, the day is the day of salvation. The most important decision you can make, dear friend, is to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All of us stand in need of God's help. There's none righteous, no, not one. Today, if you're not saved, I beg you, I plead with you to come to Christ. Kneel at these old altars and turn your life over to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Good works can't save me. Religion can't do it. Christ died on the cross of Calvary for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon Him, He will save.